Okay, I call this meeting of the Legacy Finance Conference Committee to order. We have a quorum. First, I would like to start thanking my co-chairs, Representative McDonald and Senator Fong Hur, for all the late nights and calls. Thank you so much for your partnership on this. I know it's been quite the process, but I'm glad that we were able to work things out. And so I believe some of there are some new faces that we have not seen in committee before. So just want to go a quick round around the table, just your first and last name and the district that you represent. So I'm Representative Chair Vang, and I represent Brooklyn Center and Brooklyn Park area. And we can start on the House side and go to the Senate.
Mike Mulzine, Committee Administrator.
Joe McDonald, representing the Wright County in Wright County, District 29A.
Hi, Amy Zipko, GOP Committee Administrator.
Representative Somakap Hussein, welcome to Senate District 65.
Representative Roger Scarba, District 3A, Cook County, Cooch County, St. Louis County, Itasca County, and Lake County.
I'm Brad Hagemarth, House Fiscal Analysis.
Janelle Taylor, House Research.
Mary Davis, House Research.
Ben Stanley, Senate Nonpartisan.
Dan Mueller, Senate Fiscal Analyst.
Zaina Mohammed, State Senator, and I am 63, which is South Minneapolis, a little bit of Southeast and a tiny bit of Southwest.
Eric Pratt, representing Scott County. You probably know it better as Valley Fair, Canterbury, Mystic, and the Renaissance Festival.
Hi, everyone. Senator Susan Paugh, Senate District 38, Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, and Osseo. I get the privilege and the honor to be able to serve with Chair Vang. We both represent the same district. So,
Legislative Assistant Senator Fong Hur.
Kara Josephson, Committee Administrator for the Senate.
Fong Hur, represent District 67, and I'm the co-chair of this committee from the Senate. I represent Eastside St. Paul, and I always say that in my district I only have one parade, but there's more than 43 culture bubble that is tougher than rural district that had to travel to 20 parade, but maybe it's more monotonous. So, and I also want to introduce one of my colleagues that couldn't be here because she's present her bill on the Senate floor, Senator McCune. Right now, she'll be here soon after her bill. And also, I want to introduce our Senate researcher, Mr. Vic Flower, and also Cassie Tomadoff.
All right. So we'll get started right away with the spreadsheet that we posted on the legislative website. So I'll have Brad Hagemeyer, House Fiscal, go through the spreadsheet.
Madam Chair, I'll be going through the spreadsheet that was handed out. It's the stamp today, 5/18 at 10:58 a.m. in the upper right-hand corner. The first three funds I'm going to go through fairly quickly because there are very little changes, and then I'll go through more in-depth on the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. On the first fund, the Outdoor Heritage Fund, the House and Senate had identical appropriations, and these were the Outdoor Heritage, Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council revised recommendations, and those are what are adopted in the bill. And that brings you to the page 3 that carries through, and it appropriates $160,369,000. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was looking at the carry forward amount. Yes, sorry. It's $162,111,000. On line 131 on page 3 is the start of the Clean Water Fund. Again, the House and Senate are very close on these. There's just the Senate just had one carve out that is not included. The House position is what is included in the Congress Committee report. And in total, it appropriates $303.926 million over the biennium. On line 223 is the Parks and Trails Fund. Again, the House and Senate varied a little bit here. The House had originally included Wilderness Inquiry. The Senate did not. Wilderness Inquiry is not being included in the appropriations. The 40-40-20 split is being maintained. And then the House and Senate both canceled $41,000 of previous appropriations for the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission and reappropriates them. We did it differently in the bills, and the House position of doing it with the first year appropriation is how it is currently being done in the bill, in the conference committee report. In total, there is $130,167,000 being appropriated out of the Parks and Trails Fund. And then on lines 251 through 257, you'll see a number of extensions for previous projects and the amounts of estimated carry forward extension. And then on line 259 through 261, you'll see the two cancellations of previous appropriations that are then being reappropriated. On line 263 is the start of the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and I'll go through this in more in depth because there are a lot more changes between the House and Senate and what's in the conference committee report. Starting on line 266 is the State Arts Board. In total, there was $84.558 million being appropriated, and that is maintains the statutory requirement of 47%. On line 267 is on 267 is Arts and Arts Access Initiatives, and there's $67.6 million being appropriated there. On line 268 is Arts Education, and there's $12.6 million being appropriated. And then on line 269 is Arts and Cultural Heritage, and there's $4.2 million being appropriated there. On 275 is the start of the Minnesota Historical Society. Flipping to the next page, you'll see the appropriations. On line 276 is an appropriation for statewide historic and cultural grants, and there's just under $13 million being appropriated. On line 277 is statewide history programs at just under $14 million being appropriated. On 278 is the history partnerships, and there's $5.75 million being appropriated. And then on line 279 is statewide survey of historical and archaeological sites, and there's $750,000 being appropriated. And then on line 280 is the digital library, and there's $750,000 being appropriated. There were two additional grants being included in the conference committee report that came in from the House side in this case. On line 285 is historical competitive buildings, memorial, and statue grants, and then there is a priority list of projects within the bill. And that's for $2 million. And then on line 288 is the special guerrilla units, veterans, and families for $250,000. In total, there's $36.3 million being appropriated to the Historical Society. On line 291 is the Department of Education. And then the appropriation there is on line 292 for the regional public libraries, and it's $5.4 million. On line 295 is the start of the Department of Admin. On line 296 is Minnesota Public Radio, and there's appropriation for $2 million. On line 297 is Ampers Public Radio at $3.6 million. Next line is Minnesota Public Television is being appropriated $8.3 million. The Como Zoo and Conservatory is just over $3 million. The Great Lakes Aquarium is receiving $400,000. The Bakken Museum is receiving $150,000. Wilderness Inquiry is just under $1 million at $970,000. The Science Museum is receiving $700,000. The Lake Superior Zoo is $264,000. And then the Minnesota African American Heritage Museum and Gallery is $100,000. In total, there's $19.6 million going through the Department of Admin. On line 332 is the Minnesota Zoo, and the appropriation there is on the next line is $3.4 million. And then getting to line 335 is the Humanities Center. On line 336 is Humanities Center Programs, and that's $5 million. And then there's Outreach on Humanities Grant Opportunities, a $25,000 appropriation for that purpose. On line 339, you'll see kind of three lines here for Children's Museum Grants. In total, there's $2.5 million. Of that, $500,000 per year is for the Minnesota Children's Museum in St. Paul. And then $750,000 is a priority competitive children's museum grants with listed priority organizations in the conference committee report. And then the rest of the lines are, you'll see a number of the organizations that had previously received direct appropriations in the Senate bill, but now they're priority organizations in the conference committee report. The next appropriation you'll see is on line 355, the community and Identity and Heritage Grants, and that's just over $16 million. And then there's some priority grant organizations named within that. And then within there, there's a carve out of $1.5 million per year for community festival grants. And again, there's some named priority organizations within the conference committee report. And then there's a $750,000 carve out for museums, exhibits, and collections, and $250,000 per year for ethnic media grants. The next line, you'll see $200,000 per year for creative art, music, performances, and productions. And then youth literary grants at $250,000 per year, and youth poet laureate grants at $100,000 in the first year. Starting on line 362, you'll see three named grants for Neo Miralles Mosti of Mexico at $100,000 the first year, the Lundstrom Center for Performing Arts at $100,000 the first year, and then United Hmong Family at $150,000 per year on line 365. Line 367, there's emergency grants for $600,000, underrepresented cultural studies materials at $400,000, and Gordon Park Celebration at $250,000. In total, there's $26.4 million being appropriated through the Humanities Center. On line 385 is the start of the Indian Affairs Council. There's three appropriations here, grants to Minnesota tribal nations to preserve Dakota and Ojibwe languages at $1.3 million, Dakota and Ojibwe Indian Educational Immersion Efforts at $1,050,000. And then on line 390 is the Protection of Indian Graves at $260,000. In total, there's $2.6 million being appropriated to the Indian Affairs Council. Line 392 is Section 10, the Department of Agriculture. There's a $1 million appropriation for county fairs. On line 394, there's $250,000 per year for Minnesota Future Farmers of America. And then there's a carve out within that of $100,000 per year for the 100 Years event. In total, there's $1.5 million being appropriated to the Department of Ag. On line 398 is a $5,000 appropriation for the Legislative Coordinating Commission website. In total, there's $179,911,000 being appropriated out of the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. And then line 406 through 409 are three extensions that are being included in the conference committee report. And all of the funds are appropriated to the 5% reserve level for outdoor heritage. It's 5% in the first year, and then for the other three funds, it's for the biennium. And that's all I have, Madam Chair.
All right, thank you, Brad. Members, you've also been passed out kind of like the language of the legacy bill to you as well. Since legacy is primarily a budget, so I won't necessarily have staff go through the language, but I can open it up should any members have questions to the language pertaining to the legacy bill as well. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I noticed we still have a number of priorities listed in the bill. Can you explain, or can somebody tell me how we arrived at those, at that list of priority projects in the arts and cultural section?
Yeah, so the priorities consideration, many of these, I believe, in the previous iterations, they either got, like when members had their own direct appropriations, or in the Senate bill, they had a lot of direct appropriations too. And so to reach a compromise between the House and the Senate, we much of those direct appropriations became priorities consideration. And for the agencies that are that have the priorities consideration list within their grant pool, it doesn't necessarily mean that these organizations automatically get funding. It just means that if these organizations do submit their applications on time and they've gone through the vetting process, that these organizations can get like the first look at getting access to these funds. Now, if like a smaller organization that's listed as priority, during the application process, they need a little bit more guidance or a little bit more handholding. It is my expectation that agency do provide that guidance to those organizations if they are listed as a priority so that they can have a proper application through the grant pool. And so if these applicants meet the intended language of the legacy, then they get the first look at getting access of these. And I can open up to the co-chairs too to add more thoughts to this, the priorities consideration too.
Madam Chair?
Yeah, Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Senator Pratt, when looking at past legacy bills, particularly maybe just last session since it's fresh, there was quite a bit of direct appropriations, and it became a Christmas tree, if you will, of for the legacy. And Co-Chair Vang and I and our staff and team members, our committee members, decided, you know, what would be best is that instead of us deciding on a direct appropriation, giving few really limited opportunities for many other folks, unless they came to the Capitol or they have a state legislator that could put a special project in, that we would trust particularly the Humanities Center to be able to vet these projects. It's a very competitive grant, as you probably know. My conversations with Mr. Kevin Lindsay were very thorough in informing me what's really needed, and particularly what do they do to vet these competitive grants. And I am confident that they'll do a better job than us legislators. No offense to us legislators. We have a 5-minute hearing, 2 minutes if you're lucky. And it's just simply not enough time to really vet these, some very important projects, right? Some that we don't never heard of before, some that maybe need a little bit more hand-holding, as Co-Chair Vang said. So it was our intent to put that in their, that section. And then with that, we named some priorities because we wanted them to know that these were important to us. Mm-hmm. But they will have the responsibility to really look at these organizations and the programs and the how much money is needed, and vet them particularly well in a competitive grant process. Personally, I agree with Co-Chair Vang, and I think the rest of us on our committee, that was a better move than doing a direct appropriation to those organizations or any group that we thought was good.
Senator Pratt?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, and you know, I recall, and I agree with you, Senator, Representative McDonald. Didn't mean to offend you there for a minute. I understand the concern with direct appropriations. And when we were debating this on the Senate floor, we talked about bills that had had hearings as being those that might be priority because there had been some vetting. But there are some bills, and you know, Chair Herr was kind enough to give me a hearing on a bill talking about horse racing as a cultural part of what's important in Scott County. You know, when I was growing up in the area, we had more horses per capita than some counties in Wyoming at the time. It's no mistake that Canterbury is related or is sitting in Shakopee and Scott County just because of how important that industry was to, you know, our local culture. And we are, you know, as we become a suburban as we become more suburban from rural, when I was growing up, it's a culture that we're trying to preserve, but it's not listed in the priorities. And what I struggled with, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair, is that there was really no definition of what a priority project was. That, you know, this is the best definition I've heard of it. And so, Madam Chair, I'd like to offer the A1 amendment. And I apologize, I didn't get a chance to give you a preview copy of it. Senator Herr and.
Okay, Senator Pratt has the A1 amendment.
Thank you.
And I guess I will just wait for the rest of the members to get an amendment to them. So to the A1, Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair. What the A1 amendment does is inserts a definition of what a priority applicant is, that they have submitted a completed application for the grant of money appropriated in this article and whose proposal has been heard in one or more of the legislative committees with jurisdiction over legacy funds, which is, I think, consistent with all of the projects that are listed, but unfortunately there are some projects that are near and dear to some of us legislators that we feel are important as well that we would like to see on the priority list. And so to really make sure that all the legislators and the projects that they had heard have equal footing going into this process. And then what it does is it just simply strikes out the named project so that every project that was heard in one of the legislative committees could be considered a priority project. It's a lengthy amendment, but it's a very simple amendment, Madam Chair.
Okay. I just want to note that, you know, the conference committee report has already been out for members to sign off, which I think some members have signed off already. But, you know, I can still allow to entertain this A1 amendment so we can do discussion to the A1 if members have any questions or to follow up with Senator Pratts. Oh, Senator Muhammad.
Thank you, Representative Vang. I'm just thinking through sort of, I think my question as I'm reading it. I think the bill lists out some. Are you saying any and all that have been heard in this legislative session?
Senator Pratt.
Thank you. Madam Chair and Senator Muhammad, yes.
Senator Muhammad.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Herr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Pratt, for bringing this amendment forward. You know, I would hate to kind of trying to deny the request of my Senate member, but we already went through a process in the Legacy Committee and then to Finance and then to the floor. And we create a formula, and some project was dropped out because of the it doesn't fit in that formula. And number of people or number of members are made do their due diligence, adding their project into prior lists. So I don't want to discredit or deny all the effort that come so far to this point, and then, you know, put an amendment here to disregard our effort that we had carried so forth. So I should have support my member, but in this case, I don't think this is an amendment that I would support.
Okay. Further discussion? Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Herr, I'm wondering what formula are we talking about? Because I don't see a formula in the conference committee report. I don't recall seeing a formula in the Senate bill at the time. We had a lot of discussion about what priority was, and we did try to make amendments to the bill as it came through. But I was hoping that this would be, had we had open meetings, this would have been a topic that I was hoping we could discuss before the conference committee report was sent out. I didn't have that opportunity. This is the first chance I've had to talk about it. So I'm curious what formula and how do we define that then here in the bill?
Chair Herr.
Senator Pratt, the formula was constructed when the legacy bill went into the finance committee so that it disallow large group or group that will ask for a targeted amount of large dollars, say $1 million or $2 million. In this situation, when there's project that over $2 million, then our community grant will only take so as much as 5 projects. So the formula that is you're asking and I'm going to point it to is that project that are $200,000 and less are set for 75% of the bucket, and then the project that is higher than $200,000, we set aside 25% of those for that. But if the formula was constructed in the finance, which you are also a member, and we did have discussion about that in the finance committee before it went to the floor, and a number of members in the Senate floor realized that. That's why a couple of the members had the need that they should put in their amendment to add the project on the priority list.
Yeah, I believe nonpartisan staff can help us pinpoint where that the language that Senator Herr is talking about with the 75%, 200,000 cap thing. It is within, I remember seeing within the arts and culture heritage. So, but Senator Pratt, follow up?
I'll wait for
nonpartisan. You wait for nonpartisan? Okay. Mary?
Yeah, Chair and members, Mary Davis from House Research. The language that you're referring to is on page 68 of the conference committee report, and it's at 68, lines 18 to 23.
Yeah, Senator Pratt?
Thank you, Madam Chair, thank you, Senator Herr. As you'll see, my amendment doesn't touch that language. It leaves that formula in place. What it does is it simply removes the named priority grants and makes every legislator's project that was heard in the committee eligible to be considered a priority project. And so thank you, Senator Herr. I didn't think I was touching that. I didn't consider that a formula for defining who was a priority project, but that was more about the allocation of funds to ensure that small communities and small groups had an equal opportunity to get funding as the large and established groups. And so I don't want to touch that. This amendment doesn't touch that language. It just simply says that all the projects that were heard in both the House and the Senate, or both, are considered equally priority as they go forward for their funding grants. I think this is and then again defines, you know, I think better than what the bill does today, how we defined what a priority project was. So, Madam Chair, that is my amendment.
Okay. Further discussion, Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Pratt, I completely agree with you. However, we wrapped up our bill. We want to keep it tight. I wouldn't want to accept the amendment, but I get it. Those who are lucky enough to be listed as a priority are quite fortunate. Now, it doesn't guarantee them. Of course, they still have to do the rigorous applicant process and go through a very rigorous, as you know, process to be awarded a grant. And that doesn't mean that they'll even get the full amount, especially with that new language that we added in on page 68. But, yeah, absolutely. If I was in your seat, I would probably want to do the same thing. It's not fair necessarily. Of course, life's not fair. As Greg Davids was saying, Representative Davids, he has a saying about that with his mother, you know, but you senators don't pay attention to that. But I completely get it. And you're right. Every committee, every bill that we heard in the House was important, perhaps, to that member, obviously. Some we thought weren't necessarily a priority, but that's our own opinion, right? So I get with your amendment. I understand it. I'm sympathetic to it, and I probably would have offered the same thing had I been in your shoes. But we're tight on our bill right now, and maybe we can do better next year, as you always hear that saying. We'll do better next year. But with that, I wouldn't support it either, but completely get it and understand the reasoning. And it's sound. It's good, sound reasoning, Senator.
Representative Hussein.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and committee members. I totally oppose this amendment. It is a stripped away specific funding that promised some of the cultural organization that has been came and testified in front of us. This undermine our community to underrepresent community that facing challenge, fighting to funding. We really promise, let's keep this as it is, this bill, and move forward. Thank you very much.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to hopefully understand Representative Hussein's concern, as I understand it, there is no dedicated funding to any of the cultural projects in this bill, and it simply is not taking money away from any of the projects that are listed. It just establishes what is classified as a priority project. And your project, presuming that you have one in the list, is still a priority project. It was heard in one of the committees. It just opens it up. And if I use the word fair, I didn't mean to, Mr. Representative McDonald. I just wanted everybody to have an equal opportunity. All, you know, all 101 of us have election certificates, and I think we all deserve the same opportunity to have our projects considered.
All right. All those in favor of adopting the A1, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. No. The motion does not prevail. All right. I believe we are still to the discussion to the spreadsheet and the agreement before we move for the adoption. Chair McDonald or Chair Hurd, do you want to say anything? All right. If not,
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Say anything about what? I mean, the whole thing.
I mean, just any final remarks, I guess, before we move the adoption.
No, I'll save it for the final remarks for after. Unless are we? Is this it? Is this we're done after this?
Yeah.
We're
going to adopt the committee.
Yeah. All right.
This,
before we adjourn, well, I just want to defer to Senator Pratt.
I don't want to step on the chair's toes. I have a couple of comments, and at least in custom and usage, I know the chairs get a chance to say their final piece last, so if you don't mind.
Okay, then
I promise to be brief. I'm trying to be courteous as much as anything, but
that's fine. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I just got to say, I was honored to be, you know, named to this, and appreciate Senator Herr agreeing to put me on this conference committee. I've got to say that, you know, as a member, it's been frustrating that we have not had open meetings, that we've not had the ability to have significant debates and considerations of amendments like the one I just brought. I think it's a disservice to the public when, you know, Representative McDonald says, well, we've got an agreement and we need to keep it tight. That takes away all of our voices. And we are here in a conference committee to represent not only our bodies and our constituents, but the voices of those who are here. We all bring something to the table. I'm disappointed that we lost funding for the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence as a named grant. I'm disappointed we lost the recognition of the 50th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. We have 97,000 Vietnam War veterans living in the state of Minnesota. And the Americans weren't treated very well when they came home. The Southeast Asian veterans weren't treated very well when they came here. And this was going to be an opportunity for us to say thank you for your service. That was the number one issue that brought me here, but as we continue to move on, I don't know that I'm going to be able to sign the conference committee report simply based on the process. It was done with offers going in closed rooms. We never had a side-by-side discussion. We never had a chance to debate the merits of what's in the bill or what's not in the bill. And I find that frustrating, and I hope we and many of the other conference committees are doing exactly that. I had hoped that that's how this conference committee would run, and so it's not meant to be a personal criticism, but the process to me has been frustrating, and I hope I had hoped that we could have done better. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Muhammad.
Thank you, Chair Banks. I just want to take a moment and thank Senator Chair Bung Herr for including me in the conference committee. I've never served on this committee the last 3 years, and every year I find myself in this conference committee. But really want to appreciate you giving me the opportunity to just sort of look over the number of issues that come through this committee and what you're hearing. I know you've been an extremely fair chair, and you hear everyone's bills and you take consideration into what you'll fund or what you won't fund. I think in terms of how this came about, the private room behind closed deals, I think a number of those I've been frustrated with, but this is one of those things that you didn't have a budget up until Thursday, and I know you did your best, but I want to thank you, and I think transparency is always important, so I would agree with Senator Pratt on that.
Okay. Representative Hussein.
I just want to thank for all the chairs and the committee members for putting this wonderful bill together. Halls File 2563 is about more than funding. It is about preserving our identity, protecting our resources, and ensuring that every community has the opportunity to thrive. Let's come together and support this beautiful bill.
Representative Scraba.
Like the big, beautiful bill? Okay. This is my first time I've done this. I would be remiss not to recognize what Senator Pratt said, because it's all about process, and the process is what it is, and in the end what we get is fairly fair. I mean, we got a haircut this year. My concern was somebody made an error in accounting, and we gave out too much, and we had to go back and get it. The question I have, why do we have to go get it once? Why couldn't we have drug this out a couple more years? Like, it took this many years to catch it. Can we equal it? And then that way it wouldn't hurt so much for some of these groups. But other than that, I'm pretty happy with what the product, the end product here is. I appreciate everyone and their hard work to do, because it's when you got three instead of two, it adds the dynamics of how do you divide this up and how does it work. And I really appreciate Chair Herr, Co-Chair, we were there the other day in the meeting, and I was like, wait a minute, he gets half, and then we split up a quarter each. But when we're talking, it's a third and a third and a third. And I was like, dang, that's awful. I appreciate that. I didn't notice it till I left. And then when I left, I have to say thank you for the fairness of where we went with everything. So other than that, thank you. All right. Thank you. And all the chairs, thanks for your hard work.
All right, Senator Pa.
Thank you, Chair Vang. I just wanted to say that I'm one that has always been a strong supporter for direct appropriations, so I differ with some of my members on here about that. But I'm glad to see that at least we did the priority list. As senators and state reps and elected officials, we're in our communities every day. We see the work of the organizations that serve our community. We see the impact of it, and that's why it's so important that we can still champion those organizations and those bills that give direct appropriations to organizations that we know do really good work and impactful work. And sometimes we understand their limitations and why they're asking for dollars. And so that's why, you know, competitive grants just alone without direct appropriation, without a priority list, we have seen does not do our community any good. It has not met some of the organizations in our communities that have had those needs and been able to access competitive funds. So I just want to say I hope that we will reconsider direct appropriation the next time. But this year I want to say thank you to Chair Herr, Chair Vang, and Chair McDonald for at least agreeing to this priority list, because that was really essential to communities like mine and districts like mine. I really think that state agencies do a great job of vetting nonprofits, even if they are on that priority list or even if they're on that direct appropriations list. They still have to make sure that they have the capacity to do the grants that they've said that they're the programs they're going to do under that grant. They still vet them. They still collect all the information. The organizations still have to report all of that to the state agencies. So, I still think that vetting is still there. And I want to thank all the three chairs, especially this year was not easy. To come to agreement on conference committee reports or what we're going to put into our final bill. And the three of you guys worked really hard together with us, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you for that.
All right, and Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to address Senator Pratt, comment about the conference committee, I agree with you. Being in the minority for the last 6 years, it's been a while since I've been on a conference committee. In the last one, I was at taxes and then healthcare, and this was certainly a lot better than those two. So I agree the process was probably not as we would like to have had. Being a new chair, though, and like I said, being the minority for 6 years, I kind of thought that was how it was done, at least with legacy. You know, we did some horse trading, to coin a phrase from Scott County, between the Senate and the House in the last few days. And I thought kind of that's the way it is done. And then once we kind of come to agreement, we'll sit down like we're doing right now. So, but I think that legitimate concern that both you had and Senator Mahad had as well. But anyway, I think we're very fortunate to have the other three groups, well, all groups, but the Lasard Sams, the Outdoor Heritage, the Parks and Trails, and the Clean Water folks who do vetting and do projects for a whole year. They meet, and then they give it to us legislators and say, here's what we recommend. And it gets messy when it comes to the arts and culture, doesn't it? That's where a lot of the horse trading comes in, and hence why we had the priority list. But we certainly can, next year, we're going to work on it a little bit better, I think. We'll have some more in-depth, that's at least when I chair it, maybe co-chair Vang as well, and just talk a little bit more about the process and some of the bills that were being heard, and if there's a better way to do it. Maybe this is the best way. We certainly thought it was better than the direct appropriations that was lit up like a Christmas tree. So I'm very thankful for the Outdoor Heritage Fund, the Parks and Trails folks, and the Clean Water folks, and, of course, the Arts State Arts Board, and that section worked very hard as well. I enjoyed working with Senator Herr. Always had a hard time spelling that name, of course. My mind wanted to spell it a different way, but I really enjoyed our relationship. We haven't talked much, of course. I've been here quite a long time now, 15 years, but I enjoyed our friendship that we created, and certainly look forward to working with you next session as well, and the rest of the next 2 days that we'll be here, or a week, or two, I hope not. Co-Chair Vang, really, the House committees, we really banged it out of the ballpark, if you ask me, right? The Senate was wise to take a lot of our provisions and advice, and we were wise to take a lot of your good, wise advice as well. And help. But Co-Chair Vang, thank you. All the staff, good work. Not everybody's going to be happy. As Vice Chair Scraba mentioned, we had 31 million, a little over 31 million, hijacked out of our committee here and put back into the Department of Revenue. So unfortunately, not everybody got everything that they wanted. Some, there was winners and losers, and that's what happens in the legislature, right? Compromise, especially with a tie that we have. So I guess that's all I have to say about the bill and the committee, and I'm very thankful for being on the committee here. I wasn't a legacy fan to begin with for the last 15 years. My team knows that. I voted against I only voted for one legacy bill in the last 14 years. But now I'm a believer. I see the great things that this committee and this money does, this group, all the groups. So I look forward to voting it again on the House floor, and that my colleagues will pass the conference committee, and we'll move on and get some of these great projects throughout 87 counties of the state of Minnesota.
All right. Senator Herr.
Thank you, Chair Vang. And it's a great honor to work with you, Chair Vang, and also Chair McDonough. And I know sometime Representative Scraba come in and out during our discussion. I could have done better in involving, you know, us in the process, and we always try to do our best. On it. One element and to our benefit is that there's a lot of same and similar in the language. Article 1, Article 2, Article 3. So the only more controversial and neat discussion is Article 4. And so I have CAP members and tap on the section that matter to each one of you. Especially, I know Senator Pratt voiced out the celebration, a 50-year celebration, and so is Senator Pa as well. And, you know, I was so conscientious about the Samoa Museum and such. So I know perhaps my engagement may not be adequate to your need, but I have tapped into and keep you on that loop. I will do better next time. And based on the circumstance that we have now, I think I try all the options out there. We have a number of items that from the Senate side that prevail. And just want to let you know that Wilderness Inquiry did prevail. And thank you to the House, the Science Museum in particular, the Lake Superior Zoo, Minnesota African American Heritage Museum, Minnesota Children's Museum, and Cultural ID Emergency Grant, the underrepresented cultural study material, and Gordon Park celebration. So just to update folks that this was part of the negotiation. And I'm very conscientious about our the makeup of our state, our demographic these days, and perhaps maybe a little overdue in some degree, but I want to conscientious in some time just to keep the balance. And I know I purposely chose Senator Muhammad, even though she's not in the legacy committee, but it's the makeup of what Minnesota is today. The immigrant before, this Swede, Scandinavian, Polish, Irish, German, and today our diversity include Southeast Asian and East African and more. So I want our arts and culture, our legacy, to our member here to be reflective of the mission of the legacy that we are here for. So to my faux pas to Senator Muhammad, perhaps I'm purposeful selecting, but that's, I think, the purposefulness here do signify much further, and hope that future chairs continue on to involve the diversity makeup of our bodies, of our both bodies. So I appreciate all of you been working with me, and I think this is the bill, as I see now, is better than how it left the Senate floor. And thank you for both chairs, Chair McDonald and Chair Vang. And I know it's not a perfect bill to individual liking, but it's a bill that perfect during our time here when we have shared power in the House and, you know, 34 majority in the Senate. So it's very conscientious, not just the metro, but the rural as well. So we're looking forward to pass this bill and head to the floor and send this money to where it's needed.
All right. And members, I want to make sure we thank our staff. So Brad Hegemeyer, Janelle Taylor, Mary Davis, Dan Mueller, Ben Stanley, Sidney Maxwell, who is in the revisor of statutes and was up past midnight working on this conference report. Our wonderful pages, Chelsea Alexson, Chelsea Ray, Cassie Termerdahl, Karina Nelson, Isabel Anderson, Michael Vu, Amy Zipko, the House GOPCA, Mike Mozon, our House DFLCA, and Carol Joseph in Senate CA. So I want to thank all the staff for all your hard work. Every decision that we make as members, you guys do double, three times, 10 times the work past midnight. So I appreciate all the work that you have put into getting this bill together. And with that, I move the adoption of the Conference Committee Special Agreement. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The motion prevails. The adoption of the Conference Committee is adopted. And members, watch your emails. You will be asked or have been asked to sign the conference committee report via email, so please do that promptly. And with that, we are adjourned.